If I've said it once, I'll say it until I'm blue in the face.
I'm gay.
No.
Oh, okay.
You've got puffy nipples and you're a man. I don't want you listening to this goddamn show.
Oh, man.
I know you disagree about this, that you're into guys with puffy nipples and you think they've got good hearts.
They're soft and subtle.
But I'm telling you, man, a lot of estrogen in those guys. A lot of estrogen. So if you've got puffy nipples, welcome to the Brohio Podcast. I'm your co-host, the delicious Nickalicious.
And I'm Rob Dog. Hey, guys.
Rob Diggity Dangle Dog.
How is everybody doing?
Corn Cob Rob.
Corn Cob Rob.
Big Dick Rick, as we call him down at the poker club.
Man.
We don't have a poker club.
Not at all. I don't even know how to play poker.
I love playing poker. We were in high school right in the big poker bubble, right when Chris Moneymaker was on ESPN.
Yeah.
We would sit in my basement. This is with my friends that weren't vampires like you, and we would play Texas Hold'em, and we didn't know we were supposed to raise the blinds, so we'd play Texas Hold'em in my basement all night long. All night. And then we had a skylight in my parents' kitchen.
Mm-hmm.
And I think my dad installed it drunk, so it always kind of leaked. But then we had a torrential, like a 7-week period of just feet and feet of rain.
Yeah, rain.
And one night we were playing till about 4 or 5 o'clock in the morning, and just water started pouring from the fucking... We were in the basement, and the water was coming through the floor because it was leaking into the kitchen above us.
Oh, man.
And I was like, all right, I guess it's time to go.
Yeah, that sucks.
We didn't live in like a cracker box or anything. It wasn't too much of a shithole. It's just that skylight that was put in so shitty. And the next day I woke up and my dad's like, what'd you do to a fucking skylight?
Like you're just up on the roof messing around.
That is 3 years of just not being tended to. You and your friends are in the basement playing cards and you broke the goddamn skylight. You know, when you fuck something up and you want to blame it on somebody else.
Right,
You were coming over to my house that one time to pick me up and you hit something, you got a flat tire in the van, your wife was screaming at you.
Yeah.
You're like, I don't know, it wasn't me.
It wasn't, dude. I don't know what the fuck happened, but I swear.
I love it so much.
I don't know what the fuck happened. It definitely wasn't my fault, even though I was driving.
Well, that's...
I blame your neighborhood.
Innocent until proven guilty on that one. Let's hop on our Patreon subscribers real quick.
Sure, let's hop all over them.
Sometimes when I'm feeling really sad, I just like to light my penis on fire. So does this guy, Peter Wick. Thank you for your Patreon pledge.
It's John Wick's autistic brother. Next, we got Paul Alexander. Any relation?
Yeah, he's the bear.
Gotcha.
Tiffany Husky. Speaking of bears, Tiffany Husky. That's a fun last name.
And then next, we got you, Nick A.
Yay. Andrea Dole, as in Dole Whip, which is one of my most favorite delicious treats.
So good.
There's a little podunk drive, just a hot dog stand down the street.
Yeah.
And they sell Dole Whip. And it's the only other place besides the happiest place on earth, which is, I think, Walmart is probably the happiest.
Sounds about right.
I'll tell you about Walmart here in a second.
All right. Next, we got Jose Ramirez. Thank you very much.
Why do you think that's Hispanic?
I have no idea.
I don't know. Aurora Aries. Aurora, thank you for your Patreon pledge.
Kyle Crotchville.
That's what it's like.
Thank you very much, Mr. Crotchville.
I think that's Russian, but yeah, Kyle Crotchville. And Thomas Walsh. We would also like to say thank you to Candy and Caleb Raza, right thank behind you. Me.
Yeah.
We have a three-dimensional
man. It's a thing of beauty.
Zima. In the infancy of Brohio, we used to tell you people to crack a Zima, shove it in your ass, and butt chug it. And that's what the Brohio bros are all about, butt chugging Zima. It's kind of stuck with us. It's like our anthem, Zima is, for whatever crazy reason.
Yeah.
They've got a sign they sent us for Christmas. This, you can check it out on the YouTube channel. It's right behind me. I had to move so much stuff to put it up there. I have to mount it, and I got to get the cord, because it lights up, too. This thing is straight from 1991.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
This thing is a relic. It is in fantastic fucking condition. Yeah. I can't believe someone would send us something like this. This is incredible. I would never do this for anybody.
I mean, it's got a happy home. That's got its forever home.
It does. I can hide drugs and contraband in there. And it just sits. It's three-dimensional. It's huge. It's like a billboard.
Yeah.
Coors Light, here we are. We're the most fanatic fans of your product. I think it tastes like shit, but I think we've done a really nice job of furthering the brand here with Zima.
I think so. I think it's discontinued again, but it's okay.
It is. But
it's all right. We did what we could.
Coors Light, come cut us a goddamn check. Bring us some Zima stuff.
That'd be great.
Yeah. We're so happy. Thank you, Caleb and Candy. We're just beyond thankful for this gift. This is absolutely incredible.
Thank you very much.
And then our friend Zeus, I think his name was Zeus.
That's a dope name.
He sent us a patch from the Federal Air Marshals and a challenge coin bottle opener.
Yeah.
Awesome shit. Okay.
Stolen valor.
Fuck it. I think he said listening from up in the sky or something like that.
Oh, that's pretty sweet.
That is really cool.
That's sweet.
If you want to send us something really gay to put inside our studio, it's the Brohio Podcast. P.O. Box 672.
There you go.
Vandalia, Ohio 45377. I check that thing about once a month. So if you get a return to sender, it's because I didn't. No, I check it about once a week. Once per week. We get wedding invitations in there.
Really?
We're just going to show up to someone's wedding, and they're going to be really sorry.
Just drink all your booze.
Yeah.
If it's local, and I'm invited, and there's an open bar, or if there's going to be good beer, I will be there.
That's the way it's going down.
Yeah.
Oh.
You don't even have to send it twice. I'll be there the first time.
I got a really funny article for you this week, Rob, with some stuff to go with it. Let me arm this track so when you start playing it.
Hang on a second anyways.
Are we stopping?
No, I don't want to stop. I just want to tell everybody, if they haven't seen our Facebook page, we have a voting going on right now.
Thank you.
For us to win Dayton's Best Podcast. If you could, go ahead and check that out. Give us a vote. It literally takes 2 seconds. You can vote once a day. I'm really bummed because I want to see the results in the end, but we can't.
This thing means more to Rob than anything has ever meant to anyone in the history of time. So please.
I want to crush everyone's souls.
Yes.
By winning.
Please
vote for us. It'd be great.
Go vote.
Yeah. Like I said, check out our Facebook. Even if you don't have Facebook.
It's Dayton.com is the word. Go to entertainment.
Yeah. There you go.
And vote for Dayton's Best Podcast.
Yeah, you don't have to vote for everything. You can just go to podcast, and then we're in there. Vote for us, and then I will give you a hearty handshake.
Yes, he will.
Maybe a kiss on your cheek.
A nasty one.
Yeah.
This is coming from Volusia County, Florida. So you know it's good. It happened in Florida. Volusia. A woman who threw a bucket of human feces at her landlord claimed she meant to soak the victim in water.
I got the piss bucket on accident.
Sorry, I confused that bucket with a bucket of shit. Thought it was water. Thought it was hose water.
Got the poop bucket.
Deputy said they were called to a trailer.
Of course.
I would really like the freedom of a trailer.
Isn't that just Florida?
Fuck this place. Let's hook up the house and go somewhere else.
Yeah.
It's that easy.
All right.
Deputy said they were called to a trailer on Reed Ellis Road in Osteen around 5:15 Saturday and found the victim dripping wet with feces. And the suspect, Joanne Mercator, with dried feces. She had dry feces caked on her face.
Oh, man. How long was that sitting there for it to be dry?
Oh, we're about to watch the video, Rob.
Oh, great.
Mercator initially claimed that the victim, a 65-year-old woman, entered the trailer and immediately reached for the bucket of feces and tried to throw it on her as a means of eviction, according to the affidavit.
Not my poop bucket.
My landlord just broke into my house and assaulted me, Mercator said, according to a body camera video. The footage shows her with stains on her clothing and smears on her cheeks near her eyes. This is shit. Smear on this lady's face. She told the deputy that the dispute has been an ongoing issue. I don't know anything. All I know is you're covered in feces. She's covered in feces. I need you to pretend I don't know what's going on here, the deputy said. Let's play this real quick for you.
Of course,
it's going to play a fucking ad. Hold on a second. Let's pretend this never happened. We're going to wait through this ad here.
I swear it's never happened before.
What kind of people would just put an ad on anything, you know? All right,
here we go.
Viewer discretion is advised.
What happened? All right, thank you, ma'am. I hang up now. This is all yours.
Okay. Oh my gosh.
Is it possible that you?
So let me just set this up for you guys real quick. This officer pulls up to the scene. There's a white woman standing there, and she's covered in shit.
I got the poo on me.
It looked like she took a handful of poop and wiped under her eyes.
You know, football players take the black paint and put it underneath their eyes? That's what it looks like. Yeah. She went to the wrong game.
She's
a Browns fan.
No. She's in the toilet. She's in the toilet bowl. And these cops are showing up.
Hey, who are you talking to?
Hey.
Yeah.
Are you the canine officer?
There's both of them covered in crap. So I'm not sure what the hell's going on, but...
But you understand this has been going on...
I don't know anything. All I know is you're covered in feces, she's covered in feces. Need you to pretend that I don't know what's going on here.
All right, it's not going to get me.
So how did all of this happen?
Rub this in my face.
This is shit.
Sir, this isn't poop. This is shit.
It just stopped. Probably my internet. But
it's okay.
We're going to put the link to this in the description for the episode. If you want to check out this lady covered in poop?
Yeah, she's got a good doo-doo face going on.
Check it out. Looks like she just ate an elephant's butt.
Is that unintentional blackface?
I think it might be. I hope she's not running for office anytime soon. Right. I don't like
That's racist.
I don't like it one bit.
She's a racist.
I did learn a couple things this week on my infinite travels. So, have you ever heard of a sad nut?
I think I've had some of those before.
No, this is a real thing.
Is that when you come and you don't feel anything?
No, that is a sad nut. That's not the same sad nut I'm talking about.
My car's going to feel so good. Oh, never mind.
My buddy at work, he's like, what are you doing? I was like, I just turned on some My Chemical Romance, and I'm getting ready to jack off. If you could please give me some privacy. He said, oh, a sad nut? I said, excuse me, what is a sad nut? And he's like, you've never heard of a sad nut? And I said, no. And he said he subscribes to this group on Facebook of a bunch of former emo childs from back in the day. And every once in a while, they say, post your sad nuts. And a sad nut is where you put on a really sad emo song and you jerk off.
Okay. I'm sure I've done that before.
Until the day I die, I got my wrist for you. I didn't listen to much sad emo stuff back in the day.
That's still my shit.
I know. Yeah. I listened to a little bit.
Yeah.
The really, really good stuff, but the in-betweens and the cracks there, I don't really get a lot of stuff.
I've been in all those cracks.
He's been all up in those
cracks. All up in them cracks.
I also met a fucking trailblazer on my way to work this week. As you know, I got to work in the middle of the night.
Yeah.
It's a fucked up schedule.
Mm-hmm.
There's a little... I've got several different gas options along the way, because I got to fill up a lot. It's a long drive.
Yeah.
There's one Heber Heights I stop at sometimes, and they got a... Nice. He appears to be Saudi Arabian. He might be Iranian, so he could be upset. And that's why he's having a bad week.
It's stereotypical, but it's okay.
They blow up their own planes and shit. Doesn't fucking matter. So he runs it. He's always super cool. And he's like, what's up, dude? And like he tries so hard, and I love it. I'm just like getting me some cream soda and getting out of here. But there was a guy at the back of the... They have like a little counter back there for the coffee and stuff. Yeah, like sugar in. Mm-hmm. He had 6 Capri Suns sitting there, okay? The little ones, not for resale, and they were selling them for $1. A typical Haji Mart move, okay?
Okay, yeah.
And this fellow was back there with 6 Capri Suns. Not the worker, just a, you know...
So 6 individual Capri Suns.
He was patroning the store like I was.
Mm-hmm.
And he's got a knife out, and he's cutting the corners off these Capri Suns, and he starts squeezing them into a big gulp. And,
oh, my gosh.
The guy at the front desk is like... No, 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 no. And he's like, what you mean no? He's like, you pay for that. And he's like, I am going to pay for it, but I want more than one. And I'm like, why have I never thought of this before? So he's just taking and cutting the corners off the Capri Suns and making a giant Capri Sun in his big gulp cup that he carried in with him. Yeah. Filled it full of ice, and he was squeezing Capri Suns in there. He was milking the udders of these Capri Suns into this big, giant gulp.
Man.
And I just wanted to grab him and say, can I have a drink? And
he's in the year 3020.
Something, you know, I really respect what that guy was doing.
Man.
It ultimately was...
It's genius.
One of the most beautiful things that I've ever watched.
Right.
So... Shout out to you. I did blow him in the parking lot. So
good, good.
I did get that Capri Sun. And then I tried to do it here, and my kids rioted. They about burned the fucking house down.
Man. Good for that guy.
Yeah. So since I did not get that Capri Sun, I did enjoy a sad nut later that day. I listened to Miss You by Blink-182.
That's a classic.
Where are you? We're talking about a Japanese serial killer this week.
Yeah.
I got the sound pad all dialed up. Hold on a second. It didn't even record that. Did it even record?
No, it didn't.
What?
It looks like it didn't record the audio from the video.
I think it did.
Maybe. Let's stop it and let's check.
All right. Let's do that.
Yeah.
Okay. I think we fixed it.
Okay, good.
Now, what I was saying, this episode is about Issei Sagawa. He's a Japanese. They call him the cannibal celebrity.
Okay.
What a cool name for someone.
That's pretty sweet. Yeah.
So in the honor of having a Japanese fellow on the podcast, I prepared a soundboard. Completely based off
gotta love it.
Of Mr. Chow from The Hangover.
See, he fine. Now, give me money. Or I shoot him, and I shoot all you motherfuckers. And then we take it.
And
your
like,
choice.
Come to find out, Mr. Chow is Chinese. He's not Japanese. So, my culture of insensitive.
It'll Kim Jong.
Insensitiveness. It's,
because he's fat.
That's just me making fun of myself right there. We got three more of them here.
What? Your purse?
That's not a purse. It's a satchel.
It's a puss. Okay?
It's a really good movie.
It really is.
It's a really good movie.
I take him back right after you suck on these little Chinese nuts.
And that's how I found out he was Chinese. That's how I found out he was not Japanese. He was indeed Chinese dirty knees. Look at these. So,
culture swine.
Yeah. On to our Issei Sagawa. He was born on April 26th of 1949 in Kobe, Japan.
Oh, yeah.
The Black Mamba. Things didn't start out great for our friend Issei. He was born very prematurely and he nearly died.
That's a bummer.
Sometimes, whenever we cover these episodes, you kind of start to feel bad for some of these people because they start off with such hard.
Yeah, horrible childhoods. Yeah.
And that's kind of what we're going with right here.
Well, just keep in mind that he did grow up to eat people.
Maybe. We don't want to spoil it. I don't know. Maybe he did. Maybe he did.
Well, with the name Cannibal in his name, I'm assuming that...
Like I said, for the sake of this episode, thank goodness he didn't die from being premature. Because right. If he did die, then we wouldn't have this fun episode to talk about.
Maybe they're just referring to him being a premature ejaculator. He could be.
Going to cover all that in this. It's really in-depth.
Cover me.
Yeah, and he's like an undercooked turkey. He just wasn't fully developed, you know. He was not a full man.
Yeah.
He was very small his entire life. He wasn't a gnome, but he was not a full-fledged 12-year-old. He was very much in the middle, a small man. Very small hands, very small feet, really small head.
He's very dainty.
Very, very... In his own words, he describes himself as frail and dainty.
Oh, yeah. That's
and
cute.
As a child, he wasn't even tall enough to play with a yo-yo. There's going to be a lot of...
He gets sucked up in the string.
Yeah. All the other kids used to make a lot of short jokes, but they would mostly just go over his head.
Oh,
it was such a dad joke.
Yeah, that was good.
So, in the spirit of, to be honest with you for a second, like I said, a lot of these serial killers and these bad doers that come on the Brohio podcast, they have really sad beginnings. You know, they have really sad things that happen to them as a child. And to be, you know, I guess sensitive to that fact, there was one occasion whenever he had wealthy parents. Okay. They had a lot of money and he had a really good childhood. He said he enjoyed his childhood, but there was one occasion where his mom was cooking in the kitchen and she called for him. And mind you, he was very, very small his entire life. Mm-hmm. He pretty much looked like a toddler until he was 20 or something. I don't know the exact specifics on this.
Oh, that's so good.
So his mom called for him in the kitchen while she was cooking and he came in there to the kitchen and she turned around and he was gone. She heard him come in, but he was gone. But actually what had happened, he just got lost behind a piece of rice. Couldn't find him. Five rice. He got lost behind a grain of rice. He was gone. So they call the 843 or whatever 911 they call in Japan.
843.
And they say, "Say help. Please help. I've lost my son." And they said, "Check behind the rice." And they found him. He was good. He was fine.
Good, I was worried there.
So that wasn't that traumatic. It was a big buildup. When he was born, he was small enough to fit in the palm of his mother's hand. And
oh, my gosh.
At that point, you just got to... Yeah, sorry about
that. Was that. Loud.
Yeah, it was really loud.
You got to turn your vibrator off.
Yeah. Well, it probably would have been best for her to just fucking eat him at that point. I feel like snorted him. He's probably small and slimy enough. He could have just snorted him or swallowed him like a loogie.
Ugh.
That was gross. That was a bad one, Rob. That was moist. That one was bad. I'm sorry. Okay.
Sorry, guys.
When he speaks about his childhood, he does speak favorably of it. Because he's still alive to this day.
He is. Family is rich.
His parents were exceptionally rich. I don't know exactly what they did. His dad was a corporate mogul of some type, and he had a lot of money and a lot of pool. They did a lot of stuff in nature. They were constantly outside, but they enjoyed being outside in the woods, doing stuff like that.
He often got picked up and carried away by dragonflies.
His dad. Yeah. Him and his dad would take him out back and he would let him ride around cockroaches in the backyard. He was just really small. Very small fellow. And when he was a child, he used to say that one of his favorite things to do is he would go under his bed and do backflips. Can't do it. I can't do it. No more. No more short jokes, okay? He would, I can't do it anymore. And there was an interview.
I'm just pictured a little kid so excited under his bed doing like a biggest smile on his face. He's like so proud of himself.
Yeah. Oh, Jesus. They just kept all the doors locked because he could just walk under them and it didn't matter. They had him open or shut or whatever. Man. And he did an interview with Vice. Vice.com, and they did a really good job with this interview. And I just
Vice kills their stuff, man.
I want to commend the people of Vice for this interview. They did a stellar job and a stellar write-up with it. And I got a lot of the research from there. So you guys want to go check out the half-an-hour video on YouTube, just type in Isiwa Sagawa, and that's I-S-S-E-I...
Sure.
Sagawa, S-A-G-A-W-A. Yeah, sound it out.
You swine.
When is... and he spoke in the interview about how taboo sex was for him, that his parents never spoke about it. Well, that's not completely crazy. Your parents, are you fucking or what? What the fuck's going on with you? He wasn't tall enough to buy condoms, so that's really why they didn't talk about it.
Right. You imagine getting ID'd at, like, buying condoms.
Yeah.
Like I'm 33.
Yeah.
Fucking... He looks like he's like six.
Yeah, do the first time I had to buy a condom, I was scared out of my fucking mind.
I
thought someone was going to jump out from behind the counter and hit me with a used rubber.
Yeah, I remember I went to the store and I went to go get them and I felt stupid just going and paying for those. So I bought like three or four other small items that I didn't fucking need just so it would kind of take the attention away.
Yeah, but, dude, I couldn't do it. I made the chick I was with go get it, and I went back out of the car. I'm like, Grandma, you got to go in and buy these because I can't do it. You got to go buy them, Grandma.
Mom?
Yeah, just kidding. When he got his first erection, he speaks very candidly about this.
Okay, that's such a good transition.
Yes, it was. Yeah. When he got his first boner, he thought he was sick. Okay.
He was dying.
He was so little that all that blood rushing to his penis
made him pass out.
Made him dizzy. It made him very sick. He said, I thought I was very... No, this guy doesn't speak a goddamn lick of English. So when you do...
Two pints of blood in his body and a pint and a half went to his dick.
Yeah. So he said when he got his first erection, he was thought he was sick. And he didn't know... He never talked about sex, and there was no access to sex for him. So he didn't know how to relieve himself. And in his words, he said... He didn't know how to masturbate, so he let the dog lick it off.
Oh, God.
And I, there's a difference between saying, I'll let my dog lick my wiener, and saying, I'll let the dog lick peanut butter off my... But this guy said, I let dog lick it off.
Man.
That makes it seem like the dog helped him achieve climax.
Yeah, definitely does.
You got to clone that dog and keep it with you for the rest of your life.
Man.
I don't think I could... Probably.
Oh, gosh.
Yeah, really sandy tongues. That would hurt. Like sandpaper tongues.
Yeah. I don't like it.
I don't like it at all. But the dog got him, the dog helped him do what he needed to do.
Bro code.
But that's when his sexual desires kind of take a really weird turn at this point.
Man.
His sexual desires
Yeah, a dog licking his dick until he came wasn't out of hand in the first place.
Not a big deal, honestly.
Okay.
And that's when the shit started to get away from him. So when he was in the first grade, he said there was a very handsome boy in his class.
Oh, okay.
And that he was so infatuated with this very handsome boy's thighs.
Okay.
And, you know, when I read that, I was like, gay! No, I'm just kidding. That's not gay. It's okay. If he had really nice thighs, it was worth it. And I had a very similar situation happen to me as a young boy. See, I was really chunky on the top side, and I had very defined legs from dragging around my fat carcass. So I had, like, you know, pumped up thighs. They were really nice thighs, just like this handsome boy that he met in his class.
Yeah, this is like the only part of me that's muscular anymore.
And I had a question about a math assignment in math class, and my math teacher walked by, and I called him over, and he pointed down at my paper and said, "This is where you need to carry the one." Because that's the problem I was having. I wasn't carrying correctly. And then he bent down in my ear. I'm serious.
Okay, here we go.
He said, "Hey, fat boy, you ever been hot legging?" And I said, I got really fucking excited. I thought he was offering me like a hot fried chicken for lunch.
Like a Hot Pocket?
No, I thought I was getting fried chicken. He said, you're a fat boy. You ever been hot legging? And I said, oh, we're getting KFC, buddy. But apparently hot legging, it's where you lie on your stomach,
mm-hmm,
and you clench your thighs and your butt cheeks together really hard, and you let the other person fuck you in the hole, not your butthole, but the crevice.
Yeah, right between your thighs and the bottom of your ass.
Where your thighs meet your ass crack,
yeah,
the little crescent moons of your butt crack, yeah. And it's not completely homosexual. It's not completely heterosexual. I don't know what the fuck it is.
Hey, it's just fucking a leg hole.
It's hot legging.
Hot legging. There you go.
Let's get some hot legging going on here. We've talked about hot legging on this show
before.
We
have. Yeah.
Hot legging is very popular in prisons.
I wouldn't rule it out.
Two things in prison that keeps you from being
out of prison, I wouldn't rule it out.
Yeah, I'd try it. I mean,
why not?
As long as I don't want stubble. I don't want to burn or hurt, you know?
Yeah.
You keep your socks on in prison,
yeah,
when you perform sex with somebody else. That's not gay.
When you do sex with socks on, it's straight.
And you can do hot legging with your friends, too. If you need to get it, if you need to get there, climax, you can do hot legging.
Even if they have socks off?
No. Oh, man.
We're walking, we're splitting hairs.
We'll have to double back an episode and talk to the priests about this one.
Okay.
Speaking of prison and whatnot, Lori Loughlin, she's probably going to prison. Aunt Becky from Full House.
Yeah. I hot leg her.
She's aged. Okay. I saw some.
Like fine wine, brother.
I saw some TMZs over the other day. She looks like a stripper named Daytona for sure. Okay. But she's hired a prison coach to teach her how to survive in prison.
Oh, dude. That's so good. That's so good. Yeah, hopefully she just hired Martha Aunt Stewart. Becky.
So. No, she hired some guy, and the guy went to the media like, "I'm teaching her Brazilian jiu-jitsu." And then all the professional people are saying, "Yeah, you shouldn't do that, because as soon as she gets into prison, everyone's going to be like, okay, bitch.
Yeah.
You know some jiu-jitsu?
She's going to get shanked.
You about to learn some fufitsu.
Yeah.
I'm going to fuck you."
She's going to take a filed toothbrush to the neck.
Yeah, she is, because...
Ruin that pretty little face of hers.
Really... paving a rough road for herself.
Yeah. God bless her, though.
I'll bail her out.
Yeah, she's come a long way from living in Danny Tanner's attic. Poor thing.
I know. Jesse and the Rippers.
Yeah.
Imagine.
Do you remember the first season? His name was Jesse Cochran. Then they changed it to Jesse Katsopoulos.
Yeah, I do. There was. I love that show so much.
Yeah.
But yeah, my math teacher, he fucked me. Issei Sagawa, he saw the first thigh of a female classmate.
Even better, buddy.
And then he knew that's what he truly wanted.
Yeah.
He said, "Oh no, no boy hot leg. Yeah. I want girl hot leg." And he was so obsessed with thighs, man.
Hey, I feel him.
But breasts and thighs, that's my wheelhouse.
Yeah.
Mashed potatoes and gravy, coleslaw biscuits with
now honey. We're talking about different things.
Okay. All right.
You're distracting me now.
I'm hungry. I get hungry. Okay. I get KFC. Breasts and biscuits, okay? Breasts and thighs. He liked breasts as well. Issei Sagawa did like breasts as well.
Amen, brother.
You gonna fuck on me?
No, we're not gonna fuck on you. Sorry.
It's funny because he's fat.
Yeah, this is there you go. My KFC jokes.
Okay.
Well, so he saw the first thigh of a female classmate. He said, Oh, yeah.
Same here, buddy.
He's really enjoying the thighs of the females.
Mm-hmm.
He figured out that he wasn't into dudes that much.
Hey, it's okay to wonder.
He became obsessed with Western women.
Amen, brother.
Welcome to the club.
Yeah.
More specifically, there was an actress, Grace something. Who's the gym teacher bitch on like the news that does all the true crime stuff? She's Nancy Grace.
Nancy Grace?
No, it's not her.
No, say Jesus Christ.
No, that is that bitch pulls them pants down and there is a dick right there. I promise you that.
That's exactly what I was thinking when you were saying that. I was like, Nancy Grace?
What? Which is no big deal. Let the dick dangle. Yeah. But there was an actress, some type of Grace. I don't know who it was. Kelly Grace or Grace Kelly or I don't know. Some actress from back in the fucking whenever. Mid-1900s. 1950s, 1960s.
Who cares?
I say it like it was 1,000 fucking years ago.
She's probably dead now.
Yeah. Back when they used to joust on top of camels. But then So at one point, there's something that has to click in your life and say, I want to eat people. He said that when he was little.
Okay.
That his dad and his uncle used to pretend to be monsters. And remember that he had
Godzilla?
Oh, no. Godzilla. He did have a very good childhood. So keep that in mind. He wasn't just, aside from the incident where he got lost behind the rice, he had a really nice childhood, right?
Yeah, right.
And his dad and his uncle used to pretend to be monsters, and they would chase him around, and when they would catch him, they're like, blah, blah, blah. I do that to my kids. I chase him around, I catch him, and I'm like,
blah, nothing wrong with that.
Blow raspberries on their bellies, you know, pretend to eat them, whatever. And he said when that would happen, he would think, what would it really be like to indulge in a human, to indulge in the sweet meat of a human? And you want to talk about sweet meat. Guys that are uncircumcised, they get a lot of cheese in there.
That's so disgusting. Ugh.
You've got puffy nipples. Or if you're uncircumcised and you're listening to this podcast, I'm filing a police report. Because I don't like it. Okay?
Oh, man.
This is extra nasty. That guys with foreskin do not have sweet meat.
Wiener's got a nice little raincoat.
It's got a blanket for the winter time. Not cold here in Ohio this year.
No, not at all.
It's really nice, actually.
Wouldn't get a head cold, though.
So his dad and his uncle, they would chase him around. They would play monsters. They would pretend to eat him. I played a similar game when I was younger. Except for my grandpa would just fuck me, and we wouldn't really pretend to. We wouldn't really pretend to do anything. As he went through middle school and high school, he just always obsessed over tall, blonde Western women. He knew he didn't want to kill anyone at this point. That's kind of
that's good. That's good to know.
I know. I want to taste your butthole.
I really like blonde, but I don't want to kill her. Not yet.
And he didn't want to kill. Is that he just want to have a little bite, a little nibble. And sometimes...
Don't we all, buddy?
Yeah, just a little nibble of the nip. That's all the guy wanted. A little nip nibble.
Yeah. Hey,
okay.
Yeah.
And that's all he wanted. He didn't want to kill anybody.
Yeah.
Flash forward to when he was 23, it's time to fucking kill someone. He was in Tokyo.
23.
He observed a tall...
No one likes you when you're 23.
Nobody likes you when you're 23. He's a fun guy, isn't he?
He is so... So awesome.
That was one of the most wonderful things I've ever done in my entire life was watching that. Just him.
In a little tangent, if you don't know, we're talking about Tom DeLonge and when we went to see Angels and Airwaves. It was just funny because Angels and Airwaves is a really serious band, like unlike Blink 182 when he was with them. And every time they would take a break and he would break into one of his tangents and tell stories, it's so good.
He's really funny.
It's so good, yeah.
He's one of the absolute funniest. Terrible fucking... I didn't think the music was that good. Fucking shoot me, you know?
Right, yeah. No, I like him, but yeah, Tom. I like Tom more than anything, though.
So flash forward to when he was 23 in Tokyo. He observed a tall German blonde woman that he recognized. Again, he was completely turned on by Her luscious thighs.
Yeah, he was.
Want to do some goddamn hot legging.
Good man.
He knew that she lived in his grandmother's apartment complex.
All right.
And after she fell asleep, he followed her around for several weeks. But after one night, after she fell asleep, Issei broke into her ground level apartment. And as a former law enforcement professional, I would like to say that ground level apartments are broken into 800% times more than...
Well, yeah, you don't have to carry any of the shit down the stairs.
They just walk out to the fucking grass, yeah, and hop in exactly. the car, and you get out of there. So if you are apartment shopping right now, I know it sucks to carry the groceries upstairs, but you're much safer, especially single women and really hot single guys. Not guys like me.
I was expecting that.
Guys like me are the ones that need to be on the bottom level, because people will walk by, and if they
bottom bitches
see me, they'll think that's the overall gauge for the apartment. They use me as the measuring stick.
Right.
They're like, yeah, it's just a bunch of fucking fat guys.
They saw us, they'd at least know that we'd have some fucking bomb shit in the fridge.
Yeah. And then he would look over his partner, you know, the wet bandits, Harry and Marv. He'd look over right. and say, you know, Marv, he doesn't have puffy nipples, though. That's what you could say about me. All right. Jesus Christ.
But look at them thighs.
Yeah, we're going to do some hot legging. Mm-hmm. After she fell asleep, he broke into her ground level apartment. Let me remind you, he was a very small man, so it was probably easy for him to break in. And he was so small that sometimes he didn't know if he was getting a headache or a footache. Sometimes.
He just climbed in through the keyhole.
Yeah. Surprise, motherfucker! He
went through the dryer vent. Standing up.
Just went through the poop pipe in the roof.
His plan, and this is how flawed and stupid this fucking guy was. I don't know how he succeeded anything. He was going to slap her in the fucking head with an umbrella.
Oh, an umbrella, okay.
Not a hammer.
Oh, shit.
And this shows you that he didn't want to kill. He just wanted a little nibble nip. He just wanted to nip on the nibbles.
Right.
He just wanted to do a little...
Hit her in the head with an umbrella. That's just going to inconvenience her a little bit.
Exactly. He was going to knock the shit out of her. Tear. He was going to hit her with an umbrella to the point that it knocked her unconscious. More so than her. Yeah. What? She was already asleep.
I don't see any holes in this plan at all.
He was going to hit her so fucking hard with this umbrella. He was going to knock her out. Okay? He was going to tear off a piece of her flesh and flee the scene. That was all he wanted to do.
How do you even do that?
I don't know. Because he finds later that it's not that easy. So
yeah.
He was just going to slap her with the fucking umbrella.
That's so good.
I've got such power in my body, I could hit somebody with an open umbrella and kill him. It would not slow me down. I would fucking kill him. That's how much rage and power I have in my body.
Man.
Yeah. With an open umbrella.
That's scary.
I like to take those umbrellas you get at the bar and put them in my butt. Dude, those are fun.
That's fun.
It makes for a really fruity evening.
Do we still have a knife sitting on this table? Because if so, I'm pretty scared now.
No, I took it up. She needed it the other day. She said, where's my good silver knife? I said, Rob.
We sacrificed pumpkin with that one night.
Rob was using it to chop up cocaine. So he's going to hit her with the umbrella, knock the shit out of her, knock her out. Then he's going to tear a little piece of flesh and get the fuck out of there. Yeah. As he was leaning over her sleeping body, depending upon how high he was, I don't know what part of her body, he probably hit his forehead on her hand or something. He inadvertently touched her, which woke her up.
Light sleeper.
She woke up and unleashed German fury on this fucking guy.
Yes.
And beat the ever-loving fuck out of him.
That's kinky.
To the point that he had to flee the apartment. The police, they did end up catching up with him. And he was charged with attempted rape. I can't find... I don't think he did any time for this at all. But he didn't tell the police.
Rich
he was
family.
Very... forthcoming during the interview, he said, I was going to sexually assault her. He didn't say if he was going to rape her. He didn't say if he was going to eat her butt. He just said that he was going to sexually assault her.
She may not have beat him if he wanted to eat her butt.
Yeah.
Oh, I take him back right after you suck on these little Chinese nuts.
Yeah.
Oh, that's nasty.
Now, She beats the shit out of him. He gets arrested for attempted rape.
Good.
Doesn't really do any time. You would think this would be enough to deter him for the rest of his life not to do something like this. This only spooked him a little bit, okay? He was a very intelligent person. He was very smart. He may have been miniature, but he had a big fucking brain on him, okay?
Okay.
those Oriental fellows are really good at math and stuff. I'm fairly sure of that.
I'm pretty sure, yeah.
They, this is just what I've heard. He was part of a program. They breed smaller Japanese males, and they put them inside TI-83 calculators. And
okay.
Stop laughing. This is fucking serious for a second.
Okay. Okay. Oh, I'm sorry. I'll take you seriously here.
And then you got guys like me that put Mafia Wars and fucking Math Muncher and shit on the calculators that fucking ruin them and stuff. That's what I used my TI-83 for in high school.
Yeah. I just used to write boobs on it.
Yeah.
Big boobs.
But Issei Sagawa was bred to be put inside of a TI-83 calculator. Okay. Keep that in mind. Expensive-ass calculator.
He's a thoroughbred calculator.
Yeah, he's something like that.
Good for him.
Yeah, so he was very intelligent. Big fucking brain, tiny little hands. He attempted to enter a prestigious college in Tokyo. But
tiny little hands.
Yeah. It's all right. It makes your dick look bigger.
All right, we are back again this week to tell you about our favorite sponsor, Blue Chew.
The reports are coming in, Rob Dog, from our listeners, and the results are rock hard.
Yes, they sure are. Blue Chew is helping guys like you and I to get that extra boost so we can take things to a new level in the bedroom.
Blue Chew, just like the color blue, has the same FDA-approved active ingredients that are used in Cialis and Viagra, all in a chewable blue pill, so you can take the Blue Chew anytime, day, night, hungry, full. It doesn't matter, because it's going to get you up and get you going, Rob Dog.
That is right, Nicholas. And even if you aren't having problems down there, Blue Chew can still pump you up like a rocket so you can fly her so high in the sky she'll never come down.
Rob, I took this stuff on family vacation, okay? And right. My wife knew it. After the family fell asleep, she couldn't keep her hands off of me. I took her on a house-shaking, bed-quaking, panties-aching wild ride. She opened the door to get some water, and there was a line down the hallway. Grandma Sue, Aunt Trudy, Cousin Bertha, they all wanted to hop on the Nicolicious Express.
Guys, if you want a free, yes, free, order of Blue Chew delivered to your front door in a discreet package, hop on over to BlueChew.com and use the promo code BROHIO for your free order. You will not be sorry.
That's BlueChew.com. Use the promo code BROHIO, BROHIO. Don't miss this incredible deal.
Yeah.
Blue Chew.
Blue Chew.
For your dick.
But he did not get accepted in this prestigious college in Tokyo.
Huh.
He then set his sights.
Probably because he tried to rape somebody.
I don't think I made it to his record, though.
Yeah, okay.
Sorry, I'm falling apart over here. He set his sights on studying abroad. He got accepted in Sorbonne University to get his PhD in literature, which I do believe is kind of along the same
lines. What a worthless degree.
Molecular physics, something like that. And this is in 1977 at the age of 27. Every night, so when he went to Sorbonne University, he was moved from Tokyo to Paris, France.
Paris.
Big old bushy armpits over there, buddy. Ugh. Ain't nothing like a woman lifting her.
I'm sorry, but if you live in Paris, I automatically hate you. I just want you to know that.
Because we're from America.
Yeah.
Where we eat freedom fries, not French fries.
I heard you guys hate Americans and you hate tourists, so fuck you.
We had school, I took Spanish and French.
Yeah, I took Spanish in high school.
Spanish, they had a food party.
Uh-huh.
Enchiladas, tacos, rice and beans, fucking delicious, okay? Then I took French class. We had a food party. Fucking slugs.
Yeah.
All kinds of slimy
shit. This was back in middle school.
Yeah, yeah. All kinds of slimy shit.
Dude, I ate the shit out of those escargots.
That's nasty.
Yeah. It was weird.
There was some cheese that smelled like it had been made in a homeless man's fucking taint. It was disgusting.
I've never seen anything that I wouldn't eat.
It was sour and cheesy and disgusting. Have you ever eaten out a homeless guy before? Because I'm sure that's what it fucking tastes like.
I might.
I was at Walmart today, and the guy in the corner was like, "You want some French cheese? Are you trying to get me to eat you out, fella? Here's a $5 bill."
I mean, can you imagine how bad their balls smell?
Mine? If If I skip a day,
a Walmart bum at that,
my fucking balls smell like mop water if I skip a day. It's disgusting.
Oh, man.
Flies.
Yeah.
Rotting flesh.
From under cheese.
If your flesh rots after you don't, if you don't wash your balls, write us an email, brohiopodcast@gmail.com. Okay, so he moves to Paris, France. He would bring home a working lady every night. And by a working lady, I mean a fucking hooker.
Oh, okay.
And I did learn in, I was watching, what is it, Live PD?
Uh-huh.
And the cop's like, you're a hooker. And she said, I am not a hooker. Well, he caught her sucking dick in the lot, you know. And he's like, well, then what are you? She said, I'm a working girl. So they don't like being called hookers.
Just a blue collar girl.
Yeah, they like being called working girls.
Sex workers, the sex industry.
He said that he would bring a prostitute home every single night. That tells you how much money this guy has.
Good for him.
And they would use, when they would go to use the bidet in his apartment, which is...
Damn, he had a bidet in his apartment? I guess that's a France thing, so never mind. That's not that fancy.
Keep their armpits bushy, but their pussies clean.
They take big greasy shits, so they have to have bidets.
If you eat, you live on slugs. My name's Shrek.
If you eat crepes all day long, you're gonna have some creamy shits.
I had slugs and I had some crepes, and then I shit my pants, and I had to use my bidet.
Man, have you ever used a bidet before?
Could you imagine a big fat fucker with me, like, hold his underwear over my day because I'm just too stupid to know how to use one? Just trying to.
Man, they're so weird.
You've used one?
Yeah.
Where?
Yeah. We went to
Disney World.
No, it was a hotel somewhere. One of the hotels that we went at some point in time.
Did you drink out of it?
I thought about it. Kind of looked like an eye washing station. I was like, man, I wish someone maced me so I could use it.
Mm.
But and I use wipes, and I'm used to, you know, I'm even used to that, and it still made me uncomfortable.
Oh, man. It just blasts off the Fruit Loops. That's all it does, dude.
Yeah, but I mean, it still leaves your... When you have a hairy ass, it leaves your ass sopping wet. So what do? You can't just pull your drawers back up.
Towel it off, bro.
You can't wipe it off with toilet paper.
Jesus Christ.
You're gonna make paper mache in your asshole if you do that.
This is going to hurt a little.
Yeah, you got to have a poop towel.
I keep that motherfucking thing on me.
Yeah, poop knife and a poop towel.
There next to my Tabasco. Keep my poop towel. He said that he, when the prostitutes would go to use the bidet to wash his disgusting Japanese cum out of them, that he had a rifle that he would point.
Who doesn't?
To the back of their heads to kill them to fulfill his fantasy of eating someone.
Okay.
And he said this happened hundreds of times. These prostitutes would go to use the bidet and he'd hold the rifle at the back of their heads. And he never pulled the trigger on any of these women. He just could not bring himself to do it. And this is a quote of his. He said, it became less about wanting to eat them, but more an obsession with the idea that I simply had to carry out this ritual of killing a girl no matter what.
He just felt like that he had to do it.
Yes. And in his interviews, he talks about just the thighs and stuff. And he says, they ask him, like, what do you feel when this starts to come on you? And he says, I just feel like I cannot die without tasting the thighs of whoever I see at that given moment. And he just has to taste their thighs.
Hmm.
And it just leaves a huge void in his life. He's
okay.
He's fucking weird, dude.
Man.
In 1981, he struck up a relationship with a female classmate by the name of Renee Hartfeld. She was Deutsch. People close to her claim that she wasn't really into him, but she was someone that was beyond friendly and would do anything for anyone.
She was a good person.
Yeah, but she did a lot of stuff with him as far as, dating type stuff. Going to the park, coming over to his house to eat.
Come on, get over here and get in my pocket. We'll go out to dinner.
Get up here. Come on. Pss, 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 pss. And she would do all kinds of nice stuff with him, I guess we should say. Somehow, this little guy got her to go out on a couple dates with him, okay? But nothing ever happened beyond...
It was just a pity, yes.
Maybe, or it's the fact that he had a lot of goddamn money, and...
Very true.
People like hanging out with people with money.
And she had some smoking thighs, and he was just ready to...
Take a brief pause there.
Yeah. I don't remember what I was saying after the smoking hot thighs. I was just... I'm lost over here.
He was hot legging, for sure.
Yeah, he's definitely hot legging.
He was definitely looking for some hot leg.
Yeah.
She started to go over to his apartment to have dinner with him. He told her, getting some type of electronic interference. I don't like it.
Not me.
I don't know what it is.
Fuck it, who cares?
Yeah. All right.
We are completely mess.
Amateurs.
It's
amateurs.
Okay. It's okay.
And she started to go over to his apartment to have dinner with him. He told her that he wanted to have her over for a class he was taking.
Okay.
And he needed a female friend to read German literature. One evening, while she was seated with her back facing towards him, he had a little desk inside of his little studio apartment there. He raised a gun, his .22 caliber rifle that he'd purchased, to the back of her head, pulled the trigger, and the rifle jammed. After she left, so she didn't realize that he pulled the trigger. She didn't realize that he had a gun. She had her back facing towards him, reading the entire time that he was standing behind her with a rifle, and he pointed it to the back of her head, pulled the trigger, and the rifle jammed. He didn't kill her. She didn't even hear the rifle jam. She didn't turn around, and it nearly caused him to fucking pass out, like faint. He was so just, I can imagine how emotionally charged that moment was for him. So she finally leaves. And after she leaves, he said he spent several hours sniffing the seat that she sat in and masturbating.
Oh, jeez. Oh, my gosh.
And I don't know what was lost in translation, because we're going to get on a little bit later here. And I promise whatever he was sniffing on wasn't that fucking good.
Man.
Jesus, it's pretty... Okay, we're not ready for the disclaimer yet.
We're getting there.
But he said after she left, he vigorously licked and sniffed the seat and beat his meat. Or he let the dog lick it off. I'm not sure if he knew how to beat his meat by this point. But she didn't even notice the rifle jamming. He quickly put the gun away before she was alerted, and she eventually left, like we said. He was completely obsessed with Renee to the point where he didn't want to get caught staring at her. And he was a really good artist and a really good writer, but he would draw pictures of her, and he would take these pictures and he would sexually pleasure himself to the pictures that he had drawn.
So good.
Oh, look at that titty. Such nice titty.
I hate when I don't have my brown crayon. I hate beating off the blue boobies. Oh. When I draw my tits, I like to hold like 5 or 6 crayons, and I like to draw a whole bunch of boobies at once, because you know, you put like 5 or 6 crayons in your hand at once, you can draw a whole bunch of stuff. You just hold it down like you're holding a stick of dynamite, and you just draw like 5 or 6. He didn't, that was his thing, dude. He would just draw pictures.
He had worn the brown crayon down so far, he couldn't use it anymore.
Oh, no, my brown one's all gone. Hey, fat boy, you take my brown crayon? He was talking to me. On June 11th of 1981, the year of our Lord, he invited her over to the apartment again for dinner. He told her he needed her assistance translating some German poetry. And by now, you can tell that if that was all he wanted, we wouldn't be making a fucking podcast
about him,
even though he used to hide behind grains of rice. And this is his quote. He says, "It made me even more hysterical, and I knew that I simply had to kill her." The very next night, he had her over again. He gave her tea and put whiskey in it to loosen her up.
Okay. Does that work?
And he said, "I don't care what happens. I'm doing hard fucking." So he put whiskey in it. And apparently, this wasn't out of the norm for her to drink whiskey and tea, so...
Okay. Oh, whiskey makes her frisky, right?
Yeah.
Is that how it goes?
Tequila makes her clothes fall off. I do believe that's a country music lyric.
I think whiskey makes her frisky. It is too, so.
I don't know. It probably does.
Yeah.
Corn made whiskey. God made wine.
There you go. Something like that.
Yeah. Okay. I fucking hate country music so much.
Same.
Okay. This time,
okay,
while she was seated with her back to him in the apartment again, seated at the table, He retrieved his 22 caliber rifle from inside his wardrobe. And it wasn't a typical wardrobe. He would just use
AKA like his bedroom,
a sardine can that he could fit all of his clothes into because he was
there you go.
Little. Oh. He lifted the rifle to the back of her head and shot her.
Ooh.
And struck her in the neck.
Ooh.
She turned around in a state of panic, but almost immediately slumped forward and died on the desk in front of her. Upon shooting her, Issei fainted from shock. He fucking passed out after he killed her. And when he came back to, he put a towel underneath her head to help soak up a lot of the blood. After he woke up, he said, "I thought about calling an ambulance, but then I thought..."
Thought that counts, right?
Yeah. "But then I thought, hang on, don't be stupid. You've been waiting, you've been dreaming about this for 32 years, and now it's actually happening."
Okay.
Here comes the disclaimer in the episode.
It's about to get sexy.
If you are squeamish, if you don't like yucky stuff, if you don't like people being killed, if you don't like blood, if you don't like necrophilia, if you don't like cannibalism, if you don't like cats shitting inside your apartment, if you if you have rickets, if you have scabies, if you have heart problems, if you have high blood pressure, if you have constant migraines, this is probably the part of the episode where you should probably turn it off because it's about to get a little yucky for a little bit. If you're squeamish, this one gets in the realm of Brohio. 10 being our nastiest, this is probably a 9.8 for sure.
Yeah, yeah.
Not really. The James Bulger one was sad because there's a little boy that died, obviously. This one's just fucking gross. Okay, this one's nasty.
As you can imagine, it's going to get weird pretty quickly.
He was small, weak, and frail by his own accounts. He said that what he hoped to accomplish by eating a big fucking Viking woman...
Especially compared to him...
And I think he bit off more than he could chew. He wanted to absorb their energy to try and make himself bigger, stronger, taller. So why not eat a fucking guy and turn into an alpha male instead of a big Nordic woman, you know?
That's how that works.
Exactly. And he really seemed bummed out that she had to die. In his interview, he really says that he wanted to eat living flesh. And this is from his interview.
What a waste.
This is from his interview with Vice.com. Why don't you read this to him, Rob?
Sure. "This much sound rich coming for me, but the moment the girl became a corpse, I realized that I had lost an important friend and even regretted killing her for a moment. What I truly wished was to eat her living flesh. Nobody believes me, but my ultimate intention was to eat her, not necessarily to kill her. To this day, I still think, if only she had let me taste her just a little bit. If we had spent another evening having dinner and chatting about our families, I never would have been able to kill her."
Oh my God. What a fucking sick fuck. So he passes out after he shoots her. He wakes up. He says, "I'm going to call an ambulance." Wait, no, I'm not.
Get a hold of the situation.
Wait a second. No, I'm not. But after he wakes up, he immediately starts to engage in sex with her dead body.
Okay.
So he performs some necrophilia. He then cut the tip of her nose off and the tip of her breast off.
Like her nipple?
Yes, I do believe, but in the crime...
I would assume that's technically the tip of the breast.
The crime scene photos... No. What are you talking about?
I don't know.
You get to a certain age and the front of your boob is flesh. Your nipple's more like an undercarriage type thing.
That's true.
Get some udders. I lost my... The crime scene photos are readily available.
So
you can hop online. You can see her body all chopped up and eaten and shit.
Nippleless?
Nippleless. Titless. I think he ate her left tit. Jesus. She did eat the entire tit eventually.
Why let it go to waste?
But he ate the nose and he ate the tip of the breast. The first thing he wanted to eat after that was her right butt cheek. Because
And this dude still hasn't fucking eaten her thighs yet? After making all this hubbub about thighs... Well, what a poser.
When you go to the restaurant, you set me down with a fucking ribeye, or you say, bring me some potato skins and a salad first, okay?
This just enraged me.
Okay.
I'm triggered.
All right. Be triggered.
You don't see a good pair of thighs and not eat them.
Yeah. Okay.
Fuck.
This is the one's gross, okay?
Okay.
So he wanted, after he ate the nip in the nose, he wanted to eat her right butt cheek because he said the left butt cheek was too close to the heart and he doesn't like blood.
What?
That's what he said in the interview. He didn't want to eat her left butt cheek. He dove right in, but it was too hard. He couldn't cut it. He started chewing on her right butt cheek. Like, but he said the butt cheek itself was too fucking tough.
Good so then for he her. Tried, doing squats.
She was thick. Okay. Thick. She thick. So he used a fruit knife.
Fruit knife?
That's
your problem there, motherfucker. You got to get a serrated steak knife.
That's what. And I was read that a fruit knife. I'm like, I'm so fucking fat. We're so fat in America.
You can't cut a rump roast with a fruit knife.
Well, and then I looked it up. A fruit knife is basically the same thing as a butter knife.
Yeah.
And I'm like, in America, it's a fucking butter knife.
We put butter on our fucking shit. Who the fuck cuts up fruit? Who eats fruit?
So we're in other countries, man. They're so fit and small and lean. We're just so goddamn fat here.
Dude, we have a knife for any food we could possibly want to eat.
We can't even name our eating utensils after not being fat. Yeah. We call it a butter knife. So he tried to eat her butt with a butter knife. And he decided that it was too much trouble. He had to run to the store and he bought a meat knife.
Maybe just because it has the word butt in it. So he thought butter knife, maybe.
I don't know.
Maybe this is what you use it for. He just didn't know what butter was.
No, cowboy. He had to go to the store, and he bought a meat knife. He came back, and he proceeded to cut up his favorite parts of her body.
But okay.
He said he started sawing into the butt cheek. Oh, this is so fucking gross. And he said he was very confused because the more he got into the butt, all he saw was yellow fat and not red meat. I told you this shit's going to get rough, Rob.
Okay.
Try to tell you.
I'm fine with that.
So he said he had a hard time getting past all the yellow fat. He said it was like corn inside the butt cheek.
If
you cut my butt open, it'd probably be mostly corn.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Every time I poop, there's corn. That makes the most sense to me.
It really does.
He started cutting up his favorite parts of the body, the thigh, the breast, and he started putting them in the refrigerator so he could eat them later.
Why not? Don't waste it.
This is another one of his quotes. Mostly, yes. At first, I bit into her butt with the intention of munching right through, but it's impossible. I'm telling you guys, this is fucking gross, so turn it off. This is the worst part of the entire episode.
Turn it off. Oh, yeah. Yeah, it is.
He said, human skin is so thick. I ended up with a sore jaw, although I managed to leave some teeth marks. He goes on to say, I ended up swallowing the clitoris and some pubes without chewing on it because she had her period then, and the smell was just horrendous. But it was the first moment that I actually felt a sort of sexual pleasure in eating her as if my inner body was on fire. He said he went on to try and eat the soles of her feet, but they tasted too fucking gross. He tried to eat the bottom of her feet.
Man, come on. There ain't no...
Tastes like feet.
Well done, no shit.
When he was finally tired of cutting her up and eating her, he took the corpse to bed with him and he slept with it. He planned to dispose of the body the next day. When he woke up the next morning, the body did not stink, so he kept eating on. At this point, the day after the murder, he decided he was going to cut her anus out, and eat her fucking butthole. He said...
We know you kids are into that these days, but not like this.
Yeah, eating ass is all the rage right now, but this is a different kind of eating ass, all right?
Yeah.
He said that the smell of eating her ass, her cutting out her fucking asshole and eating it, he goes on to say the smell was too overpowering and he couldn't stand it.
Well.
Oh, no, this bitch had bacon. Oh, onions. She have onions and ketchup. So he couldn't eat her anus.
This is so rough.
But he's not a... His mama didn't raise no bitch.
Hell no. If you're going to do it, man, do it.
The smell was so fucking bad, he couldn't eat her butthole. So he did the American thing and he fried it. And he put mustard on it.
Oh, damn, yeah. You won't be able to taste anything after you put mustard on an asshole.
He said this asshole tastes so bad that it still could not eat the asshole, even after frying it and putting mustard on it.
Dude, she must have been taking some lumberjack shits.
You know, some big old
so you don't fuck with Nordic women.
Oh, some big old transatlantic.
Big bushy vag and a stinky asshole.
Goblin dragon shits.
You don't know whether to... Fucking lick it or throw up in it.
So there's certain foods you cook that stinks up your house for days. Could you imagine throwing a big old slob of fucking asshole on the skillet?
Ruin my cast iron skillet.
Yeah. You said he couldn't get past the taste of her butthole. At some point or another, Fly started to gather, and he knew that he needed to get rid of her.
Definitely.
He bought a hatchet so he could cut her up into smaller pieces. He got excited while performing the task, so he used her hand that he detached from her body to sexually...
So he jerked himself off with her dead hand.
He did.
Okay.
There's no way. I was trying to church it up a little bit.
Yeah, no, no. There ain't no churching that up.
Jesus. By the time he was done dismembering her body and stuffing her into suitcases, it was midnight on the second day. He was really fucking tired, so he went back to sleep. He hailed a cab the next afternoon, and when the cab driver was helping him lift the suitcases that he'd stuffed her dead body into, the cab driver said, "Oh, you have a dead body in you or something?" He said that.
If only he knew.
The cab driver asked him that. And he said whenever he asked him that, Issei said, I just started to laugh uncontrollably. Dead body. I don't know brown crayons. So he made it to the park where he wanted to put her in a pond. The Bouge de Bologna. I don't know.
Bouge de Bologna. Let's see here.
We eat that bougie bologna here in the fucking...
Bouge de Bologna. Bologna.
Bologna.
Bologna.
Okay. Oh, no, I haven't
yeah,
written...
Yeah, you haven't... You have a...
Bouge de Bologna.
We're so fucking white.
Oh, I love bologna, though. He gets the suitcases out, and he lugs them towards the pond. It was 8 p.m. at night, and he failed to realize that in the middle of the summer, the sun is very much still very high in the sky at 8 o'clock at night.
Yeah.
There was nude sunbathers that were watching him in the park.
So he kept going.
He's like, hey, little guy, you need some help with that suitcase?
They couldn't even see him pulling the suitcase. It looked like a mobile.
It looked like a mouse going through the grass.
Oh, shit.
And the part where I said he hailed a cab, he actually rode on the back of an RC car, like Buzz and Woody at the rocket ship strap. He got one briefcase into the water, because he had two briefcases, and he heard someone behind him say, "Hey, is this your suitcase?" And he fucking panicked. He said, "Oh, no, no." And then he just took off. He left the park. And the person opened up the suitcase because it was completely saturated with blood. There's blood pouring out of it.
This dude's stupid enough to not even put the shit in trash bags.
Oh, he's right in the middle of fucking one of the biggest parks around in the area right there.
Yeah, but I mean, fucking double bag that shit so it doesn't leak.
Yeah.
Come on, man.
Hey, obviously.
If it's worth doing, it's worth doing right.
Right. He wasn't tall enough to reach the trash bag.
I guess that's true.
The person behind him that said, "Hey, is this your suitcase?" opened up the suitcase, and the first thing he saw was a fucking woman's hand protruding from...
Covered in cum.
The luggage side. Yeah, covered in cum. At that point, the police were called, and it took them 4 days to catch up to Issei Sagawa.
Can you imagine those 4 days for him?
Well, he says each day of freedom... He ate more of her meat than he had in the refrigerator, saying that each day that went by, like an aged sirloin, the meat got sweeter.
Okay, so FYI to anybody, 4 days is the sweet spot to wait to eat a human if you really want to.
Too fucking gamey to eat the first day.
Right. It's too tough and tender. The muscles haven't relaxed.
Go ahead and throw that asshole away,
too. The pubes haven't fallen off.
Oh, God. The police...
You gotta wait for the period to be over.
Yeah, I don't want to talk about this. I don't want to talk about periods. I don't like them. I think they're nasty. I know they have to happen. I think the science of the woman's body is an absolutely majestic and beautiful thing.
You mean you've never put a tampon in water and made some tea out of it?
No, okay. Not in America. No,
just me.
No, we don't do that here.
Just me.
I don't want to be friends anymore. That's fucking gross. Get out.
Oh, God.
Get out. You see?
Yeah, that's okay.
Oh, Jesus.
I've really never done that.
Okay, thank you.
Okay.
They found the police entered the apartment. Oh, I guess wrap this up because
I need some tea.
Yeah. They went to the apartment for the search warrant. They immediately found her remains in the refrigerator. He detailed what he did to the police and claimed he'd suffered from mental illness for quite some time. So he's very forthcoming about the investigation, about what he did.
I'm fucking crazy.
Yeah. Mind you, this was in France, not Tokyo, where he was from. His descriptions were so fucked up, the Frenchy judge, instantly decided he was incompetent to stand trial. He awaited what was going to happen to him for almost 2 years.
Wow.
He was given an indefinite sentence in an asylum, not prison.
Okay.
Three psychiatrists evaluated him and said he'd never be cured. His father, might I add, had a lot of goddamn money, and France was growing exceptionally tired of footing the bill to take care of this fucking whack job. His dad paid for him to be transferred to an asylum in Tokyo, mm-hmm. and they said that upon his arrival, the people at the Tokyo prison said right away, they said, this motherfucker knew what he did, and he needs to pay for his crime.
Yeah, yeah.
So finally, some justice is going to be served. What seriously complicates everything, the charges in France were dropped.
Ooh.
Because he was not fit to stand trial, okay. thus creating a sealed record in France.
Huh.
The records couldn't be released to the Japanese authorities. At this point, it was like Issei didn't even do anything.
That's crazy.
They couldn't even drop charges against Issei in Tokyo because there was no charges against him.
There was nothing.
This little dumpling walked free. He checked himself out in 1986 of a mental institution and was instantly a completely free man.
That is insane.
After committing one of the most horrendous murders in the history of the world,
ugh.
This fucking guy walks free in the streets of Tokyo.
Man, if he only lived like these times, he could just get tender to eat ass, then he wouldn't even need to do all this stuff.
He was a very talented writer, and he explains at the time there was an economic bubble in Tokyo's media. The news channels were instantly making him offers of $10, $20, even $30,000 to tell his story. Stations competed to see who could produce the most shock content on their broadcasts. He went on to write many, many books. I think it's either 20 or 200. He wrote a lot of fucking books. But either way, 20 is a lot of books. 200, that's someone that needs to get a fucking life.
Right.
And he even went on to make pornos.
Yeah.
In one porno, they pay this girl to have sex with him. Okay. They set her down, and they set him down, and they make them have a really awkward conversation. Then she has... No, it was like a 24-hour challenge. They make her stay with him for 24 hours.
Okay.
And they engage in sex the entire time.
For 24 hours straight?
Not the entire time, just on and off. Damn. Then right at the end of the 24, right about halfway into it, they sit down with her, and they sit down with him, and he tells his entire story about what he did to that girl in France.
Oh my gosh.
And shows her all of the crime scene photos in this fucking porno, dude. Of the chopped up, gnawed on.
How isn't that admitting to a crime?
And she just sits there in utter fear for her life. I think she fucked him a couple more times after that. So she liked to live wife on the wild side for sure.
Oh my gosh.
And then she finally leaves. She gets done and I'm ready to get the fuck out of here. And it was all said, but that was such a weird setup.
Talk about a boner killer.
Yeah, for sure. No, for her.
Oh, yeah.
She didn't have a penis.
I guess it's true.
I don't think so. It's Bangkok. We got to worry about the chicks with dicks.
Yeah, talk about a dry clam then.
Exactly. Society rewarded him for his acts, it seemed. He has since changed his name and he lives in government housing, but he still does interviews freely. In one recent interview, he said he's 5 months behind on his rent, and if he's evicted, he'll just kill himself.
Oh, okay.
That's a good way to not get evicted.
Darn.
He says in his Vice interview, "What if I'm from another dimension? I fell here in like a meteorite, and my mom just picked me off the side of the street."
Okay, so he is fucking crazy.
Yeah, he is really fucking crazy. And the one thing I was thinking about, if he does just die, it'd be a lot cheaper to bury this guy because he's so small. You won't.
Yeah, right, really exactly. Just put him in a shoebox.
An Altoids can. Slam that fucker shut. There was one point where before he killed Renee, that he went on a cruise and he met a really fat guy from Greece. And this guy from Greece was a butcher. And the butcher gave him very many tips on how to cut meat and whatnot. And after he returned home to Tokyo after the murders and whatnot, he sent a thank you card to this fat guy that he met on the cruise, the fat butcher from Greece.
Oh, nice.
And he said that one of his fantasies is just to bury his face in a woman's armpit and die.
Oh, okay.
And from this Vice interview, there's a couple more questions that he answered here. In the Vice interview, they say, "Do you still have cannibalistic urges?" He says, "Oh, yes, definitely. The desire to eat people becomes so intense around June when women start wearing less and showing more skin. Just today, I saw a girl with a really nice derriere.
Derriere.
When you say derriere, I think of someone like ate a whole bunch of dairy products and they're going to shit themselves. That's kind of what derriere sounds like to me. I always thought, even when I was a kid, and he said he saw this on the way to the train station. When I see things like that, I think about wanting to eat someone again before I die. So yes, I do still harbor these desires, and I specifically want to eat a Japanese woman this time. I think either sukiyaki or shabu shabu, lightly boiled thin slices.
That just sounds racist.
Yes, is the best way to go in order to really savor the natural flavor of the meat. Can you please call for the people who would willingly be eaten by me in your magazine? There's one condition, though. They have to be young, beautiful women.
We're out.
And he also he also says, they asked him about eating shit and getting pissed on. He says, eating excrement is going too far.
I agree.
But I did have a female acquaintance who would always let me drink her piss and spit. She doesn't let me do it anymore since she's married, but before she would stand above my head and piss directly into my mouth. It was delicious.
That's a power move.
And it didn't smell funny at all. Once she gave birth, she would leave bottles of her piss at my house for me to drink, but I just couldn't because it reeked of motherhood.
Oh my God.
Of a mother caring for her baby. It's a horrible thing to say, but I guess I began to see her as a mother rather than a sexual female being.
Man.
And then Vice says, do you have a message for all the girls around the world reading this?
I feel like being a mother would be like the ultimate sexual being, like... Dude, move
after you have a kid, that's some really potent piss. That's what he's figured out right there. Living off Mountain Dew and coffee. That shit can burn all through fucking metal. It's like when fucking Superman turns on his eyeballs and he just burn shit.
Oh man, okay.
Oh, my one buddy was drunk and he was fighting with his girlfriend or his wife. Yeah. And he's like, they have kids now.
Uh-huh.
I'm not gonna say their names. And he was drunk. He's like, I used to eat your pussy and it tastes like Captain Crunch. Now I eat your pussy and it tastes like piss. Jesus Christ, man.
That's rough.
That's so mean. That's so mean. Oh, I don't like it at all. And they said, what's your message for all the girls around the world reading this? He says, sure, I would like to invite any woman who wants to kill me to step forward. Beautiful women. He wants to be killed by a woman.
Okay.
Beautiful women only. That would be the ideal way for me to die. Maybe they can shoot me up with morphine so I don't feel any pain, although I guess the pain is part of the pleasure. Hmm. Dying instantly is boring, so I want to savor the process of being killed. An alternative would be to drown in female saliva.
Ugh.
Oh, God.
I'm out.
Wouldn't it be wonderful to be covered all over with a woman's spit? If I could die drowning in it, that would be my ultimate dream come true. I'm a cowardly man who killed another person, yet I can't face killing myself. So I guess dying at the hands of a woman would be my way to redemption.
Ugh.
So, Rob Dog, how big was it?
Oh, fuck. Judging by him, since everything on him is small, I'm guessing it's going to be a teeny tiny gnat wiener.
My name's Bill Wilkins, and I'm 73 years old, and I like to drink piss.
Welcome back, Bill. We have not seen you in forever. What have you been up to?
You boys are talking real bad about getting pissed on.
Yeah, we're not fans.
One night I went to the bar. I was looking for me some swamp donkeys.
Naturally.
I wanted to get pissed on that night, Rob Dog.
Okay.
And I found me a big old swamp donkey wearing sweatpants and Uggs.
Okay. That's like a natural aphrodisiac right there.
She was drinking... one of those Mexican beers.
Corona, maybe?
It was Corona.
Okay.
And so I said, how would you like to go back to the house and piss on me, you big hippo?
That beer already smells like piss, so one step in the right direction.
And we went back to the house. She squatted down on me. I think she pushed the wrong button because she took a big old shit on my neck.
Oh, man.
Bill Wilkins threw up.
Poor Bill.
Poor Billy.
Poor Bill.
Speaking of the Australian Bill Wilkins, to those of you being affected by the fires in Australia, my hearts truly do go out to all of you. And I know that's a...
so, so sad and so rough.
Koala bears are the most majestic-looking animals in the entire world.
Drop bears, though.
And I keep on seeing them on Facebook. They're just dying, man. All these animals are dying. People are fucking you know, in their lives are in serious jeopardy from these fires that is so much bigger than the mind can imagine. So to all of our Australian friends, we're thinking of you. We're sending our love and support. Hopefully this fucking goddamn debacle of an episode helped get your mind off of whatever you got going on.
Yeah. This was a fun one, for sure.
This was the absolute worst one ever. This was a couple times I'm like, I might puke. Might puke. But here we are.
Who knew a dead asshole would really taste like a dead asshole? You got a little Japanese fella to tell you that firsthand. So if you ever want to go eat a butthole, you know not to.
The worst part was he cut it out of her.
Yeah, he cut it out of her.
I wonder how he prepared that. If he did like a tamale, like if he put some.
He just left her poop tube attached to it. Oh, God.
Exploring the human body.
Hey, yeah.
It's absolutely magical.
It's a beautiful thing.
Thanks for tuning in this week to the Brohio Podcast.
Thank you, guys.
I think Rob had fun.
I had a lot of fun. This is the most fun I've had with my clothes on in a while.
This is the most fun I've had without cutting the tops off of a Capri Sun.
Oh, God, yeah.
I'm saying that right now.
Yeah, definitely.
That guy, he drank about $9 worth of Capri Suns that morning.
Hey, no judgment here.
I drank $9 worth of Capri Suns. I got that shit.
I can't afford it.
See Pumpkin in my room?
I do see. I've been watching her this entire time.
Yeah, she's a beaut.
She's guarding the babe.
Thank you so much for the Zima sign.
Yeah, thank you.
Thank you so much for the stuff, the challenge coin and the patch.
Thank you.
We love all of you. We never thought there would be a day that we said, people want to send us stuff because they love us.
It makes no sense to me.
You're sending us stuff to make us go away.
Right.
Either way.
Bon voyage.
We're happy to have you here.
Thank you, guys.
Beyond thankful. Rob loves you.
And I love you.